What caused these buildings to go possibly beyond just those planes that smashed into them? Back in a moment. Peter, I'm going to ask you a legal question in just a moment, but for you, David Ray Griffin, you've sat back, you've listened, and let's give you an opportunity now to talk about this entire picture. We all agree there's something very strange here, pieces of puzzles that don't seem to fit in place. Why don't you give us a little bit more of your perspective?
Okay. Well, we talked about the various hypotheses, and the crucial thing when you're doing some kind of hypothesis or theory like this is your hypothesis has to cover all the relevant evidence. It isn't good enough if you can just deal with half of it or three-fourths of it. You've got to deal with all of it. So let's take one piece here, the collapse of building number 7.
Okay.
How is that conceivable unless it were an inside job?
Now, this is the building, of course, that didn't get hit by any plane, but it was close to the two towers, right?
That's right. And so the problem is with it, that with the towers, people can claim that the airplanes hitting them was a factor. But with the Building 7, it has to be all the fire, totally the fire that brings it down. Now, the first problem is that fire has never in history brought down a steel frame, high rise, or medium rise building.
True.
Never. Never before 9/11, never after 9/11. Furthermore, they have even tried to do it and couldn't do it. And then there have been fires that went like 19 hours, the Philadelphia fire, I believe, virtually gutted the building. It did not collapse. And yet, Building 7 had fires only on a couple floors or a few floors at most, not very big fires, and yet we're to believe that somehow that fire, small as it was, for the first time in history, brought down such a building. Furthermore, besides just the very fact that the building collapsed, you've got the specific characteristics of the fall. Controlled demolition, there are about 10 standard characteristics. Let me just mention a few of them. First of all, they come down at virtually free fall speed, and that was the case with Building 7. They come straight down. That's the whole purpose of controlled demolition, so you don't destroy the surrounding buildings. You know, a 47-story building, if it came down sideways, and certainly the towers, if they'd come down sideways, 110 stories, would have created enormous devastation. They came straight down virtually. Furthermore, almost all the concrete, particularly in the towers, was pulverized into dust. And then in each building, you had a total collapse. Now, in each case, you would have to say, what's the probability of this happening according to the official theory? The probability would be extremely low for each one. When you multiply that, you get virtually a null hypothesis, zero probability that fire would have brought down Building 7. And FEMA itself, which was given the task of coming up with an account, came up with a rather fantastic scenario, which they said might have happened. But then they admitted this has a very low level of probability.
I know someone, David, in St. Louis who works with a major national wrecking company. They blow up buildings, and he said that it looked like it was a demolition the way it came down. He said, with regards to the World Trade Center towers, that if there was indeed structural melting because of the temperatures from the fuel of the jets, that the building should have fallen sideways, not straight down.
That's right. And of course, the fires were not nearly close to hot enough. You know, you need extremely hot fires, 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit. these fires could not even in the North Tower, which had the biggest fire, could not have been more than 1,300-1,400 degrees, you know, half the temperature. Secondly,
Well, if Building 7, though, was brought down, David, that means it had to have been wired with explosives way before 9/11.
That's right. And, of course, this was Silverstein's building, so there's no big mystery, you know, as to how that might have occurred. With the towers, one has to wonder how that was the case, but we do have reports that various parts of the towers in the months before 9/11 were shut down, and only certain engineers were allowed to go in.
All right, let's go to you for a moment, Alex.
Me just mention one more thing.
Go ahead.
The fact that it was so difficult to explain this, FEMA couldn't do it. The 9/11 Commission report, in its 571 pages, did not even mention the fact that Building 7 collapsed.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Peter, I'm going to go to you in a second, but you, Alex Jones, because a lot of your casework is based on Building 7 and the way these buildings collapsed. I want to get your take on Building 7 and the other two towers.
Well, thank you, George. Please let me just have a few minutes on this, because this is the smoking gun of 9/11. I've been trying to bring it up, and I want to thank you for bringing it up. And Mr. Griffin's done a lot of great work on it as well, so have many others. Long before Larry Silverstein went on PBS, America Rebuilding, hosted by Mr. Spacey, I was saying that clearly they blew up Building 7 from what happened that day and the news reports. But Larry Silverstein went on, slipped up, and said, we gave the order to pull it. Then they cut to an engineer going, pull it means demolition. They even say that on the show. I mean, this is a godsend that they have these Freudian slips. Now, let's talk about this. Steel really starts melting at around 3,000 degrees. It was also coated in asbestos, which even makes it harder. Look at Tower 1 and 2, though, before I get into 7 just briefly. We have holes in the towers, people standing in them. The jet fuel has burned out. 51 people in one photo standing in the holes. Their dresses aren't even burning, but giant steel columns are melting, and I have the firefighters. I've talked to firefighters. They told me, we've been threatened with arrest if we tell you what we know, but they'd already gone public before they were threatened, saying that bombs were going off in Tower 1 and 2. Now,
And let me ask you very quickly, Alex, and then you continue.
Okay.
There's a observatory called Lamont Durity. It's a geological observatory. Was there any seismic evidence at all which would have picked up bombs or sounds like that going off?
Yes, there was evidence at a federal and state facility, but then that can be arguable. What cannot be argued, George, and this is so important for people to understand, is that as Mr. Griffin said, Professor Griffin said, a modern steel building has never collapsed. Going back to Madrid, Spain, 4 months ago, it burns for a day and a half, 100-foot, white-hot flames shooting up, and not one major pillar collapsed or was even damaged. Now, getting back to Building 7, because this is so important, on PrisonPlanet.com, because that is the documentation, on Infowars.com, we have a huge site, a huge section with hundreds of links, with Dan Rather saying looks like implosion, with Peter Jennings saying it, with Mayor Giuliani going live on TV and saying, yeah, I got told to get out of 7, Tower 1 and 2 were going to come down, so I got out of 7. The CIA, Defense Intelligence, FBI, they were all based, the emergency center was in 7, and they had Tripod 2 going on, so a drill was going on that morning that already had their command base out of the building. That's Associated Press. But back to Building 7, because, again, this cannot be overstated. It is so central to all of this. This thing catches fire later in the afternoon.
Did anything hit 7?
No, not even the debris. By the way, I've been to New York. I've been there. There are two buildings, literally 20 and 42 feet. I measured it. Right next to it, they weren't even damaged when it fell. Tower 1, the South Tower, fell up against Bankers Trust. The whole thing burned all day. Nothing collapsed. Building 7 is way down, over a block away. Buildings were all around, but only buildings owned by Silverstein fell down. But here's the key. Larry Silverstein says they pulled the building, the demolition term, for imploding it. And we know that Associated Press photographers were told, get back 10 minutes before it fell, by the firefighters saying the building is coming down. We are bringing it down. Then I'm at ground zero. Firefighters, police, some on video, some said I can't go on video. We're going, absolutely. They told us all to get out. They told us 7 was going to come down. Even the Israeli company Odigo, that tried to warn people, the instant messengers, based in one of the major towers. This is Haaretz, folks. This is Jerusalem Post. Hundreds of their employees were instant messaged 4 hours before, told to get out. MSNBC did an investigation on, quote, urban legends, and concluded that it was true. Hundreds of people were told that they interviewed to get out hours before. Look, those buildings normally had 25,000 people in them.
Well, you remember when this first happened, they were talking about 30,000 people that I thought, when I was watching this, my daughter woke me up. I thought 25,000 people died in those two towers. And then I realized, as tragic as it is, about 3,000, including, of course, the people who passed away in
the
planes.
10,000 in it before the evacuation. By the way, the Associated Press reported, George, you're absolutely right. Again, this is just key stuff here. The Associated Press reported that someone from the command center at Building 7 was on the emergency speakers in the building saying, stay at your post, do not leave, everything is fine. And going back to Ahmad Salam, the security force agent from Egypt, it's the same MO every case. The hijackers, this guy, Oklahoma City, they're Iraqis, they're Egyptians, they're Saudi Arabians, who we all can document were on the payroll of the U.S. government. And Ahmad Salam was paid to cook the bomb, train the drivers, and he goes to them and says, they're about to bomb, let's do the sting. They pull him off. He thought it was a setup, which it was. He goes and tapes, 16 hours of conversation, so he would be protected. Then they pay him off to shut up. It isn't like they're a bunch of idiots at the FBI. The blind sheik was above a pizza parlor with about 25 members of his cult. They went and found some radical Islamicist to basically be the cover for the FBI, cooking the bomb, giving the detonators. The two drivers were both registered as mentally retarded on welfare, and they had to train them, and they kept telling them how to park it up against the main column, but luckily they were retarded and didn't, so it didn't bring down one tower and knock the other down. And it's the same story, George, every time. It isn't the FBI is a bunch of idiots. Look, FBI Deputy Director O'Neill quit 2 months before 9/11.
Yeah, he died in the tower.
And he told the London Independent 1 month before he died, he said they're going to allow an attack on the towers. This is on the site, London Independent, to have a pretext to invade Afghanistan. Now, that guy's on record from the grave. He quit to go defend the towers. He tells a newspaper that they're going to attack it. They're going to let them attack it. It's the same story. And you just played that tape earlier. How can that be spun magically into the FBI are idiots when they're on the tape going, well, they're going to let them bomb it and we cook the bomb?
Let's go to Peter Launch for a moment. Peter, do you concur with some of that?
I have a great this is a classic example of where Alex takes pieces of the evidence and lumps it all together. He says the World Trade Center 7 is the key to 9/11, proving that the government did it. Let me tell you what happened from my perspective on World Trade Center 7. I agree with David Ray Griffin and Alex that it was pulled. I believe it was detonated intentionally, but I do not believe, and I'll talk about the towers in a minute. First of all, I documented that there was an Arabic agent named Sukru Dal, who was found walking out of the parking garage. He was arrested by a New York City detective, walking out of the 7 World Trade pristine, meaning he was inside the building during both of the collapses. He was inside 7 World Trade. He was talking on a phone in Arabic. He was wearing a New York Fire Department turnout coat and boots, which were later determined to have been stolen from 10 and 10, 10 engine and 10 truck on Liberty Street. That the door went up on that building as soon as the first American 11 hit at 8:13 or When American 11 hit the first tower, the door went up on 10 and 10, and they exited. So this guy was down there, had the presence of mind to go in the firehouse, put protective clothing on. Then he found himself into this building. Now, what did 7 World Trade contain? Not only did it contain the New York City Command, Emergency Command Center, it contained CIA headquarters for New York. It contained the Secret Service headquarters for New York. It had a number of black operations in it. I believe that what happened was, and I agree again with David, that there was no serious interdiction of the building. There's no explanation for the fires. The explanation that the emergency generators, the fuel caught fire, is ridiculous because they're way inside the building. They wouldn't have been affected by any interdiction of the outer core. I believe that that building had been wired previously, but not with the intent of the government causing 9/11. And I believe they pull that building down because they were afraid it would have, the integrity of the building and the black operations material that were inside might have been compromised.
But when would they have put the explosives in there?
Well, here's the question. There's a story about the Oklahoma City Federal Building as well, where there are secondary explosions. I don't know enough about the demolition of high-rise buildings to know how much time it would have taken.
Well, let me tell you, because I have a friend, again, who works for a demolition company. He says it could take up to weeks to properly put them in the right place. And that's...
Unless that building, George, was pre-wired because of the very, for the obvious reasons, okay? They have all this black operation material.
Oh, yeah, okay, I think we agree there.
Now, let me go to the towers now. So there's a different, there could have been a different explanation. And by the way, this guy, Sukru Dal, the FBI didn't want to process him, and he ended up being indicted.
Okay, but Peter, why would you pre-wire Building 7 to take it down?
No, you didn't. What I'm saying is, if you have a federal building that has all of these potentially, we know many of the embassies around the world are wired to be
blown. All right, so you're saying it's standard procedure.
It could be, but let me just get to the towers. When Alex said, there's no way that those towers weren't brought down except by bombs. Absolutely ridiculous. First of all, there was supposed to be 3 inches of asbestos foam insulation on the steel girders. And the reason was that when Yamasaki designed the towers, he used very light steel, very, very light steel, not the kind of steel girders that normally have to be burned at 3,000 degrees, number one. Number two, there was an exception to the New York zoning code that prior to then said that all structural steel had to be covered with concrete or tile. So when the B-25 hit the Empire State Building, it barely made any damage collaterally because the steel was protected. In this case, the outer core and the inner core of the building were in such integrity that if the weight of the water from the 78th floor, and there were standpipe hoses, the radio broadcast proved it, Ronnie Buca, the heroic fire marshal, was up there. The weight of the water, the weight of the planes, the fire, absolutely could have pancaked that building and the reason the South Tower fell first, even though it was hit second, was that they found that there was only 3/4 inch of asbestos foam on the girders versus 3 inches, which was the standard, and the North Tower had 1.5 inches versus 3 inches.
Okay, you know what, and we're running out of time here, Peter. We got another half hour to go. What's amazing, though, is you all agree, again, that something very strange is happening here. Why didn't the 9/11 Commission at least come up with some theory like you and
I'll give you an answer. Because the 9/11 Commission on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, realized that there was such an outrageous level of negligence in the 12 years leading up to 9/11 that they would only go so far. Number one, they would not find any culpability. Number two, they would focus on 1998 forward. Even if you look at the IG's report that came out this week that was classified, George, they're really talking about 1998, not 92 with Ramzi Youssef in New York or the Blind Sheikh. So they realized over three administrations, starting with Bush's father in 89, that there was so much blood on the hands of the intelligence community that they were both going to give each other a pass. That's why Jamie Gorelick, who was one of the most catastrophic, most negligent people in the Clinton administration, was put on the panel, and she and Philip Zelikow, who was a crony of Condi Rice's.
And I get smashed from the back. Unbelievable. And the person had no driver's license, and you can imagine. That was my kind of days, but I came in, and I'm glad I made it in. Oh, well, at least I'm okay, I think. I'll be back. Hey, oh, by the way, Friday, special series of open lines the first hour. I've got a little surprise. Make sure you're listening. And then we'll go into our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. That's on our next Coast to Coast program. And you'll all have a final minutes for final statement at the end of this hour. Peter, a couple questions for you. And, you know, I share your sentiment that the fact that there's been some incredible gain after this horrible event, both in personal financial gain for people and in events, in issues like that. But let's jump ahead for just a moment to Iraq, because I want to ask you a legal question. If we went into Iraq and were lied to about the weapons of mass destruction, and let's just assume for a moment the lie was there, that this was all intentional, this was not just a mistake, then we deal with the two things you talked about. One was negligence, or one was intent. If there was true intent to lie to us in order to go into Iraq, for whatever reason, oil, to get Saddam, whatever it is, 1,700 American lives so far have been lost. Is that criminal because of that act alone?
I think it is. I think it rises to, first of all, it's an impeachable offense, in my opinion, for both President Bush and Vice President Cheney. An absolute stone impeachment. If they impeach Clinton over Lewinsky, the lies that led to the deaths of 1,700 and countless Iraqis certainly rise to the same level. But there's also obstruction of justice by Rumsfeld and various members of the cabinet. And also there's the cozy relationship of Halliburton, which, by the way, today, just today, Halliburton is going to build a new jail at Gitmo.
$30 million.
Yeah,
$30 million.
And did Cheney put it into a blind trust? It doesn't really matter. Any city in America, if the vice mayor, the company that the vice mayor worked for, got a no-bid public works project, there'd be a grand jury impaneled. And nobody, people are not asking enough questions about Halliburton and the sweetheart deal that resulted. So I absolutely believe that if there was one courageous prosecutor in this country that had the guts, it has to be not federal, it has to be outside of the Justice Department. That's why I say it should be New York City, Morgenthau, still the biggest unsolved homicide in American history. If they had the guts to just impanel a grand jury, and Mike can speak to this because he knows, then we might get a turn on this investigation, because people like Gorelick would spill their guts in a heartbeat.
Is that possible, Mike Levine? Can we get that kind of a grand jury investigation?
Only by everyone listening, demanding it, and demanding it from media and from their congressmen. That's why when I was speaking about the customs officer who came forward and said his investigation last week was stopped by FBI, and I urge people to get on my website, expertwitnessradio.org, and I will give them the transcript of what Mr. Weber said so that they can take some action. But before I quit, can I speak about grand juries, trials, and the notion that the building collapse is the smoking gun?
You're not going anywhere, Mike. We got you for 20 more minutes.
Okay, I went on fire listening to this, because it just ain't so. When Dr. Griffith said there's no mystery as to how those bombs were set, because it's a Larry Silverstein
project,
my first reaction was, oh my God, yes there is, and you better come up with an answer, because as you pointed out, George, it would take months to adequately set those bombs. And the head of security was Deputy Director O'Neill, a man who was specifically tuned in to terrorism ever since the bombing of 93. I've been in and out of that World Trade Center any number of times. The security there is tough. On top of that, all those three buildings had representatives, trained policemen, hundreds if not thousands of trained investigators from different and competing agencies going in and out. You cannot come up with one person who can testify that he saw strange people going into positions in that building where they were planting bombs over a many-month period of time. And I went through the BATF bomb building school. This is a precise art. If you can't come up with one person, even an ambulance-chasing attorney is just going to rip your case up in front of any jury. And that what you say maybe have some validity, but I simply with my experience with all these competing agencies and Deputy Director O'Neill, who, by the way, didn't say that they were going to let it come down. He was speaking in the same vein that Colleen Rowley was speaking when she said FBI headquarters, the inside joke in the FBI, was that headquarters were acting like moles for Bin Laden, is that they were fools. Deputy Director O'Neill wasn't accusing them of being in cahoots willingly with Bin Laden, but nevertheless, de facto, yes, they were absolutely helping Bin Laden. But again, the notion of, you said it, George, it's precise art, takes many, many months. The notion of people planting it under really intense security in those three buildings, and I'm an expert in security, is just the probability of that is almost nil.
Well, but if they did it, they had to do it months in advance.
Yeah,
you just can't walk
take,
in.
It would take, as you said, it would take months.
Yep,
it would take
absolutely.
Months of careful planting and doing it under the noses of competing federal agencies and highly tuned security, because they were O'Neill's people. It just it's so counterintuitive that I don't think you could find one juror who would go with that. That's why it's a shame if you really believe that that's the smoking gun.
Alex Jones, because we're trying to connect dots here, is it true that the 109th Congress is indeed looking at the possibility of eliminating the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution, and they want whatever president can run forever? Is this true?
I have the New York Times and Washington Post and the actual bill posted on PrisonPlanet.com. At InfoWars.com, General Tommy Franks, the head of CENTCOM, before he left, said that one more attack, we will set aside the U.S. Constitution for a military form of government. But let me respond to what I just heard. Understand, one of my associates ran $2.5 million. Understand, $2.5 million of ads in New York asking Mr. Silverstein to explain himself. I've called him 50 times. He says they pulled, i.e. demolished, that building. The central column blows out, the penthouse falls, it falls in on itself, the most beautiful controlled demolition anybody has ever seen. A lot of them don't go right. This one was perfect. In Las Vegas, when they got weeks, they don't fall this perfect. It's way down the street. Debris didn't even hit the building. We have a giant section documenting all of this. And so, I'm sorry, that is just the facts. And one last point on this. You talked about the Zogby poll, 50% of New Yorkers back in
2004.
September. Yes, in September 2004, believe the government had prior knowledge and consciously failed to act. CNN had a poll on Anderson Cooper's show a month later, after an hour of demonizing people like myself. They had a poll, and out of 8,000 respondents, this is on InfoWars.com, we have a screenshot of it, out of 8,000-plus respondents, 90% believe the government was involved. So people can tell their stories, play their games, play denial. When I first came out on 9/11 and said it's an inside job, a criminal element above the government, people said, oh, you're nuts. Now, first they said there's not even prior knowledge. Now prior knowledge is admitted. People can try to say all day long that it was just that they're a bunch of buffoons and idiots. No, this was total precision.
Well, how do you feel, though, Alex, that every other person on this panel, though they may not agree with you in terms of what happened, they do agree that something bizarre is going on here?
Well, I mean, look, it's impossible. The official story is a fraud. That's the biggest conspiracy theory ever. We look at who has the motive, then we look at the evidence of who was behind it. And I will just finally say this. I've made a three-hour film on this subject. I've made two other films. I've written a book on this subject. They're all available at InfoWars.com. And I'm giving out a free newsletter. You can call toll-free to get it, the 9/11 fact sheet that lists 25 different smoking guns. And I want people to not believe me, to research those 25 smoking guns. Again, there's 600 posted on the site, but 25 of the key ones that show what happened. Please call and get one. 1-888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. Or go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Email me. Ask for the free. We've already got 1,000-plus people that want it for free without me even plugging it. Ask for it. We'll mail it out to you. And then you take those questions and you do the research. Half of my three-hour film is up for free on the website right now in 12 different clips. It's all there. Go look at it.
disprove anything I've said. My God, George, I'm going to be honest. I've got my passports ready. I'm looking at New Zealand. My family is ready to evacuate the minute they detonate their nukes to bring in total martial law, or even beforehand. I'm going to go down with the ship. I'm going to stay here like my forefathers in 1776, or my forefathers that died at the Alamo. My family raised Colonel Travis's son. I'm going to go down with the ship. My family is preparing for evacuation.
All right, Mike Levine, tell me this. If something happens, whether it's a nuke or any other major event, what happens to the control of this country? What do they do? What's your best guess? You next, Peter. You then, David.
I go back to the four men, 100 years experience in 97. We predicted not only 9/11, we predicted the complete loss of our Constitution afterward, and it's happening right in front of me.
See, I'll tell you why I'm concerned. Scared as an American, not as a person, you know, quite frankly, not much scares me. But, you know, I've got kids and they've got kids. And what concerns me is I've got four experts, all of you. I all respect you for what you do and what you bring to the table. You have different views. You come at this in a different way. You don't agree with each other on everything. But you all agree that there's a real possibility that this country is going to change and change dramatically for the worse. That scares me, Michael.
CIA and FBI are saying the same thing now. It used to be just a few people from the inside who had the courage to come out. But now what's chilling, what scares the hell out of me too, Alex, because you know this, my radio studio is 1,000 feet from ground zero. Is Central Intelligence and FBI now coming out and saying, yes, in all likelihood, it's going to happen. Not if, when. So we're not talking about pie in the sky here. We're talking about the experts now agreeing with everything we're saying, and that is the most frightening thing in the world. I happen to believe, after my 40 years of training and experience, that America can turn the tide. There is a chance. It's only going to happen by way of shows like this galvanizing people, but you've got to give them a specific job to make it happen.
Let me tell you, Michael, if we didn't slam away yet, and this is not necessarily a political show. I mean, you know Coast to Coast and what it does, yet I have an obligation that if there's something so dramatic out there that could change the face of what this country has been built on, I've got to say something about it, because I can't live with myself if we do that. And I mean, even the thing of trying to chop away at the 22nd Amendment, that scares me. That bothers
Alex,
me.
Alex, I agree with you, but I'm a tactician. I'm a guy that used to set up undercover operations that crossed the world. And I also used to box. And my coach in boxing used to say, open a cut. Try to open a cut, then all you do is keep hitting that cut.
Yep.
Well, we haven't opened the cut.
Not yet.
And this, I'm sorry to say, because I really enjoyed this whole show, that those kind of theories are not going to open a cut. That's what I'm all about, winning. That's why I do this show. That's why I do my show. And I think if you take a man like Weber, who came out now and said, FBI just stopped me from investigating Al-Qaeda fundraisers. They stopped me. They shut my investigation down. Here's a man on the job. He's a top employee. He's the head of the Houston Office of Homeland Security. Now he spoke to Senator Grassley is now pushing the Justice Department and Homeland Security for a formal review, which is bullshit, as we know it. And the only way it's going to happen is if every American listening gets on the bandwagon and demands it from their elected officials. And I will, again, be happy to forward the transcript of Weber's statement to anybody who contacts me through the website expertwitnessradio.org and go to war. I mean, let's open a cut, folks.
Peter Lance, give me your final statement.
Couldn't agree more. That's why Mike and I are in sync on this. I think if you go to my website, peterlance.com, L-A-N-C-E, go to that terrorism timeline, and then go to the FBI 302 memos that show Al-Qaeda directly linked to the crash of TWA, it is irresponsible to claim that these guys were a bunch of ragtag incompetents. It completely undermines the lethal threat from Al-Qaeda, which is continuing, and the idea that this is just the government out to hurt us, that's the government that's going to explode the nukes, is just, it's so absurd that it's so irresponsible that it takes away from our ability to to stop what I do believe is a subversion of the Constitution. I think the Patriot Act, Valerie Caproni, go to my website, look in those 302s, you'll see Patrick Fitzgerald, U.S. Attorney in Chicago, Valerie Caproni, General Counsel of the Bureau, who wants to get rid of the Fourth Amendment, essentially. All of these people in this administration chipping away at the Constitution have blood on their hands for TWA 800 and other Justice Department cover-ups. If you don't get an indictment against one, if you get an indictment against one of these people, there, that's the ultimate cut. That's when blood will be drawn, and we'll begin to get to the bottom of what happened. If we keep looking for shadow governments, if we keep saying it was those people out there, them, you know, we're never going to get anywhere. And that's it. It's just it's disinformation, and it doesn't serve us.
Amen.
David Ray.
I would like to use my time to talk a little about the 9/11 Commission.
Yes, we've got a couple moments to go for you. And I tell you what, I'm going to stick around for the final hour. I'm going to put you all three of you have only been asked for the three, and you've done yeoman's work for us tonight. I'm going to have Tom talk to you at the top of the hour just to see if you want to hang around for phone calls from listeners. If you don't, I fully understand that. But go ahead, David.
Yes, I've recently written a little summary of my second book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, and called it a 571-page lie. I counted 115 lies of omission and distortion in it that I had mentioned. Let me give one of them that goes back to the question of the towers. One of the features of a controlled demolition is a total collapse. These towers, 110 stories, had 47 massive steel columns that constituted the core of each building. And how in the world did they collapse down into a pile of rubble no more than three stories high? How did the 9/11 Commission explain that these columns weren't still there? They simply told an enormous lie and said that the core of each tower consisted of a hollow steel shaft, simply denied the most distinctive feature of these buildings, the 47 massive steel columns.
All right, and Alex, I'll let you wrap up for a couple minutes.
Well, I totally agree with David Ray Griffin. I've read the entire report. I've written a detailed analysis of it on PrisonPlanet.com. They don't mention, in one word, Building 7, way down the street, 47 stories, perfectly imploding. It's unbelievable. People, 9/11 is the foundation of this huge, mammoth police state. You know they lie to you. You know they lie to you every day. They have the motive to invade the world, to use us as their Hessian slaves, as their mercs, as their freebooters, as their mercenaries. You can look at it all around you. You know America's dying. So many people are ready to wake up. So I've done 2,400-plus radio interviews in the last 3 years and three quarters, and I'll do a show for 4 hours with 100 phone calls, and nobody disagrees with me. The first hour, George took calls. Everybody knew something was wrong. The whole panel knows something's wrong. Bottom line, your guts know something's wrong. It's over for us unless we expose who is behind September 11th. And I'll tell you, George, I would miss it for the world to be here in the next hour.
All right, you stay. All of you, I want to thank you, Peter, Michael, David, Ray. Stay on hold for me for just a second. Tom will talk to you all, but thanks all of you for being on the panel.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. You're welcome.